One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? We don't discriminate. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back, and if it's your first time, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling? How's it going?
I tell you, it's been a week. My dishwasher exploded. My furnace quit when it was minus 36 at night. Had to get a repairman out in the middle of the night. I'm ready for some whiskey. I am ready for some Van Halen. So tonight, couldn't have come fast enough for me.
Jeez, what is with this weekend household appliances? Our washer finally kicked the bucket. Luckily, we had a backup waiting, so got that hooked up. And now our dishwasher won't even... it didn't explode, but there's no water that goes into it, so it defeats the purpose. So, yay, hand washing for quite a while.
I feel your pain. We've been hand washing too, but that's why I'm thinking tonight we're going to manifest a damn good song. And we got a damn good guest to come on the show with us this week too.
We do. We have yet another fan, a very patient fan. Let's put it that way, because we know you guys, if you're a fan, you've been wanting to get on the show, and we have heard you. We've seen your requests. We're getting to you. We just Corey and myself have found that people really like talking about Van Halen. And sometimes we just we're the kind of people we want to accommodate as many people as we possibly can. And sometimes that means there's a list. Sometimes the list grows. So if you've been waiting, we appreciate your patience and keep on waiting, because you'll get to it just like our guest tonight, Scott Monroe. Scott, how you doing, man? How you feeling? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here, guys. I'm doing great, and really appreciate the invite as we celebrate a Fuck It February together.
That's right.
It is.
And I got to say, February. Yeah, you can't see it because it's an audio podcast, but Scott is modeling the latest and the podcast will rock wear here. Said Santa Claus brought that for him. Great looking black t-shirt with the yellow logo, a la the Best of Volume 1 cover art that got Mark into Van Halen way back when. So we appreciate you, Scott, for stopping by the store, and everybody should do that. I know Christmas is gone, but hell, there's birthdays and what, fucking Flag Day is coming soon, right? Groundhog Day, that just passed. Get your loved ones something for Groundhog Day.
Yeah, something comfortable, something nice. And the podcast will rock merchandise will certainly fit that criteria. Before we get into it all, Scott, please tell us a little bit about your experience with Van Halen and any sort of anecdotes you might have.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I guess I'll just start off with some context. My dad was into the classic rock of the 70s and 80s. So I grew up on Deep Purple, Foghat, Boston, Aerosmith, and of course, Van Halen. I listened to his cassette tapes and CDs. And by the mid 90s, I was mainly into grunge, metal, alt rock, you know, stuff
sounds
like Nirvana.
Familiar.
Yeah, you know, Nirvana, Tool, Foo Fighters, Stone Temple Pilots, stuff like that. My birthday came along in March 1995, and I got the Balance CD. And that was really the first album that was my own, you know. I would have been 13 years at the time there. So really, I have a lot of nostalgia for that record. That's pretty much really what got me into Van Halen was the Balance record. And then we get into the back half of the 90s with the Best Of album and then Gary Cherone and Van Halen 3. I'll be the first to admit Van Halen 3 as a whole hasn't aged very well. Apologies to Gary. But I still have strong nostalgia for Van Halen 3 as well and the tour. And I think some of the tracks there still hold up. So Van Halen toured with Gary in 1998 while I was in high school. And that was actually the first chance I had to see them live. It was the end of August in Hartford, Connecticut, Kenny Wayne Shepherd opening. I really loved how they played all songs from all the different eras. They had some real nice deep cuts there. Romeo Delight, Somebody Get Me a Doctor. And I still own a lot of bootlegs from that tour. So after that, I'd go on to see them play live three more times. I saw them play with Sammy during the 2004 reunion tour, and then twice with Dave and Wolfie during the Different Kind of Truth tour. Nice. I'm really happy I was able to see them play live with every lead singer incarnation, even if I did miss the glory days of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
But still, yeah, that's really, really cool, man. You probably have that up on quite a few Van Halen fans out there. I dare say a majority. I don't know how many of the true fans out there have seen all three vocalists live in concert. So that is a credit to yourself for being a fan and being willing to give it a shot, because not a lot of people say good things about Van Halen 3. So far, I am one of those people. But I have to imagine, because Gary Cherone is such a really good singer when he's doing his thing, I have to imagine seeing him live, you would probably get one hell of a show. Would you say that he did the songs that are not Van Halen 3 justice live?
Yeah, he did great. And I totally agree. You know, I think even he himself said, you know, he wished that they had toured first before going into the studio. I think things would have turned out a lot differently if they had done that. You know, personally, I would have told them to, you know, record three tracks, do Without You, When I Want, and Fire in the Hole, put that on at the end of a Best Of Volume 2, go on tour, then go in the studio. Would have turned
That's
out a lot
great
better,
idea.
I think. But
fantastic.
That idea. Is a good idea.
But I do want to just say the 2004 show with Sammy, that was absolutely amazing for me. I was telling Mark earlier that was the concert that dreams are made of for me. As you guys may know, this was 1 year reunion tour. When I saw them, they were on the fourth and final leg of the tour. I was living in Vermont at the time. I got tickets with my college friend, Sean, and his uncle, Bob. He was a old school VH fan. And we drove across the Canadian border at night to the Bell Center in Montreal. This was in November of 2004. And our seats were pretty bad. They were in the way back. You know, you really had to squint. During the opening act, though, we noticed that there were a bunch of empty seats in the middle left area about halfway to the stage. So as one does, we agreed that if there were still empty seats over there by the time Van Halen hit the stage, we'd go over and claim those.
You have to.
And so we did that. It was around, I think, the second song, which was Run Around, because I remember by the third song, Humans Being, we had a much better view of the band, which was great.
Very cool.
So we were pretty pleased with ourselves. Looked like we were in the clear. Now I should point out, we were not quietly sitting down like a lot of people around us. We stood the whole time, hooting, hollering, arms in the air. That's what you do at a concert, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I agree.
We were having a great time and not being shy about it. The show continued on, and we got some great cuts like The Seventh Seal and Best of Both Worlds, and then came Eddie's guitar solo. And I look over, and there's a security guard leaning in, and he's talking to Uncle Bob, and my heart sank. I'm thinking, oh shit, we're in trouble. Sean and Uncle Bob, they shuffled down the aisle with the security guard, and I followed them out into the hallway, and my heart is just beating. And I asked them what was going on, and Sean said to me, he's taking us to the stage. And it took me a few clicks to comprehend that, like, what, the stage? So the security guard told us to show the same spirit and excitement that we did up there as we did in our seats. And he led us down the hallway to this pit area that was right in the stage. I look up, and Mike Anthony is right there just a few feet away, you know, in this pit area. Oh, wow. I had no idea this was a thing at the time, but during this whole tour, they had these two pits that were recessed in the middle of the stage on either side there. And you had to do something like enter a contest on the Van Halen website or some other thing to get tickets to these. But apparently they were also just randomly picking out fans to come down to these as well. So lucky for us, we get down there. And I just got to say, they literally launched into the song Dreams as we got there. So you can imagine the euphoria we're feeling.
Kidding.
Yeah, it was toward the tail end of the show. So I think we also got Ain't Talking About Love right now. And I think they closed it out with When It's Love. And, you know, the band had sounded great from our seats, but looking up from them from the pit there, it was like they were only playing for us. Just an unbelievable experience. And it was absolutely the concert that dreams were made of for me.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's like makes me more and more envious and sorrowful that I never got to experience them live in any iteration. It's yep. Ugh, such a shame, but yeah. But good on you, man. And that sounds like a hell of an experience. I mean, I can't imagine a better scenario, but I love it. The Balance album bringing people together, and on behalf of my lady, I'm sure she would salute you in that regard. So, all right, that is awesome. I love that. What do we got going on in Van Halen news? Anything in particular, Corey?
You know, there's not a ton. Obviously, I go to the Van Halen news desk. Mm-hmm. They have actually a poll on A Different Kind of Truth because that was released February 7th. We're recording this on February 8th. Curious what you guys think because they polled what's your favorite track on A Different Kind of Truth? If you had to guess, what was number one? What would you say was the most popular track from Van Halen News Desk readers? Scott, let's start with you. What do you think the most popular track on that album is?
Well, I would hope it would be the one that I picked, and that would be She's the Woman.
She's the Woman. Okay, Mark?
Well, I mean, that's a good one, but I think like Tattoo being their single, like it makes me want to kind of drift in that direction. But so, yeah, I'll just say I'm probably wrong, but I'll say Tattoo.
Tattoo is seventh.
Wow. Well, there you go.
And She's the Woman, number one.
Ah, well, of course.
Stay Frosty was the second most popular track. And then the spoiler alert, the track I'm manifesting here tonight because I want to get A Different Kind of Truth track. We haven't covered this one yet. Number three was As Is. So I'm really hoping that's the one we spin tonight from A Different Kind of Truth. But please go to the Van Halen news desk. We have, you know, you can read the article on A Different Kind of Truth. You can take the poll. You know, David Lee Roth, you know, has a new cover, a video Mustang Sally came out. He has a new episode of the David Lee Roth show as well. You can check out all that stuff on the Van Halen news desk.
Mustang Sally. All right. I'm just going to move past that. It's fine. It's fine. So with that being said, Corey, the poll, the rock and poll, we always do. I mean, Van Halen news desk poll. That's great. We love it. But we do the polls around here, our rock and poll. And last week, we had the poll for Sinner Swing. And look, as great as the song is, if any of our past polls are any indication, there's no way that people are just going to run with the what dreams are made of on this one. However, if I'm not mistaken, Corey, this one got pretty high in that regard. Yeah.
It did, and I know there's a big push here. There's still a little bit of time left in the poll as we're recording this. Still a big push to try and get it to 90%. It's currently 89.1%. What Dreams Are Made Of, 10.9%. this dream is over. So again, pretty definitive. People like Center Swing, but a couple of dissenting opinions, and we actually had one in the comments that we can talk about.
Please do.
All right, well, let's start here with the comments. Robert Cato says, oh yeah, the back and forth between DLR and the band is badass. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Our new friends at Dissect That Film, they're a great little movie podcast. And actually, we're setting up a date in March for those folks to come on the show. They say simply that entire album is what dreams are made of. Hard to argue.
Yeah.
Gregory Muse says, I haven't even listened to the episode yet, but this one is a gimme 100% what dreams are made of. To the 11% who picked The Dream is Over, you must be out of your mind.
We've said that before, and I guess we'll keep saying it because it seems to just happen over and over again.
Yeah, one or two votes you could see, you know, somebody's an asshole, someone's a contrarian, whatever, someone's in the cult. But yeah, to get like as many as we're getting is kind of shocking.
Really crazy.
Yeah. Kyle Anderson says, voting this track or anything on Fair Warning down would be a sin.
There you
Hard
are.
To argue with that logic. Rihanna, they're back saying what dreams are made of. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jesse says, that is the ultimate Van Halen album. All the booze, cigs, and sick riffing and solos. It just never gets old. Eddie forever.
Booze, cigs, and riffing. I love that.
Yep, absolutely. Our good buddy Tom says, what dreams are made of. He even hashtagged it WDAMO. Classic early VH energy, an angry solo, and a fun fall down the stairs of a song. I almost said an orgy solo, but it was angry. An
orgy. I mean, depending on the group, it could have been an orgy song. Solo. You never know.
But you want to talk about people waiting forever to come on the show. Fat Man on guitar. We're going to get him on here in the next month here, next few weeks.
Yeah.
Also, hashtags WDAMO, what dreams are made of. No question here. An Overlook classic. I was pretty sure it was only played on that tour. But it could have stayed in the set that whole original era. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
The Deep Purple podcast, they're coming on the show too, Mark. First week in March. Can't wait for that. Yes. Solid track. What's not to like?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very simple. Well put.
Oh, Jonathan, our good friend Jonathan says, what dreams are made of for me? It's been a minute since I've heard this song. It's definitely a balls out rocker and a fun jam. Y'all mentioned Van Halen covering ZZ Top in their club days. I could see ZZ Top doing a cover of this song easily. You're absolutely right. And I would kill to hear that. That would be amazing.
Man. Yeah.
Great comment, Jonathan. He gets my vote for best comment of the week. Good job, Jonathan.
There you go.
Future Squash 767, though, saying amazing song. One of the best. So he's back in the good graces. Good. Big DLR fan.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah. Our good buddies, Sean and Todd from the Sean Geek and Fast Fred podcast are back and recording new shows. I just listened to their newest one on Monday, so it's good to have them back recording new stuff. They say, this album delivers on all counts. This song is no exception. I love Van Halen Boogie. Well, who doesn't?
Yes, you do. Of course. Yep.
Chaz Mataz, the one and only, says, in my Van Halen top five at number five. He's like Casey Kasem. I love it. This song is ever nasty thing the PMRC warned you about. You sinners, repent, and you downvotes, get the fuck out and push. There you go, Chaz. I'm gonna have to split my vote for the best comment of the week. Chaz may get it there too. That's it.
That's that one's pretty good, Chaz. Thank you.
Josh says, my favorite song about a sinner, Swing. Absolutely. Yeah, I can't think of a better one. David Lee Smith, who was on the show last week, says, all right, you sinner, Swing, get up and push. Another DLR Van Halen tune that gets a What Dreams Are Made Of from DLS. By the way, that David Lee Smith fellow is quite the cool cat. Plus, he would have got away with saying $1 despite being nearly on the dot with saying 70. So,
well, and humble, this Davey Smith.
Yes, very humble. The one and only Michael Green says, I think it's a deep, underrated, a deep cut, underrated gem. It's just got some real swagger and, wait for it, Swing.
Ooh, clever boy.
All right, here's our dissenting vote. Here was from Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty Project and Seaside Pod Review. Says, downvoted this one. Hear me out. All the component parts of this song are solid. Good swing from Al, nice bright harmonies from Mikey, a machine gun solo, DLR doing what he does, but for me it doesn't coalesce into a whole greater than the parts. So he felt a real disconnect on this one, and
All right. Well, at least he gave us a good reason as to why he broke it down. He didn't even have to do that. He broke down everything that works, but and then gave us the overall opinion as to why. See that right there. There's your gold standard of how to if your opinion differs and it's a really highly rated track of Van Halen and you're thinking, nah, no thanks, at least tell us why. You know, because we're curious. I was very curious to hear what Kevin had to say about that, because, you know, we like Kevin. Kevin usually, yeah, we usually all see eye to eye on most Van Halen tracks. This one he did not, and he gave us his reasons why. And I love that. Very diplomatic, very simple, very easy. That's all we ask.
And it's funny because on his Seaside Pod review, him and Randy did the song Drowse. From A Day at the Races, which I fucking hate. So I just put Drowse Blows. That's about as eloquent as I got into it.
And then there's Corey's retort. He's just like, no, it blows. No explanation. Shut up. Go away.
That's all you get. Drowse Blows. But then I had to comment that he upvoted Drowse and downvoted Center Swing. And I said, you know, electroshock therapy only sounds scary. You should maybe look into it.
I believe it has finally happened, you all. John Mariano has had such a profound effect on Corey's. Maybe Corey just podcasts a little too much, and he's just tired.
Maybe
he's worn. He's weary. That's what it is. We'll get done with the show, and you get yourself a nap.
I definitely need one. Kevin, because some people called him out on the comments and said, you know, did you listen to the right song? That kind of thing. And he just said, it's nowhere near their best swing song, and they did those really well. And it is in the top half of even the DLR era songs. Not for him. It would be a third option vote for me, which we're not doing because make a fucking choice, people. But yeah, there's not much memorable about this track, despite it being fun. A bit paint by DLR numbers. So that's totally fair.
Wow. Well, yeah. But well, hey, again, he explained himself and he gave us his rationale. So and because he wasn't a dick about it, we appreciate it. Drink. And we value the opinions. It doesn't, we don't all have to share the same opinions, but at least give us a reason as to why, you know. Yes, and I like that Kevin kept on doing it. So kudos to you, Kevin, even if you are completely fucking wrong about your vote.
Speaking of not being a dick, some fellow by Scott Monroe said, a solid boogie rocker with a catchy as hell harmonies. The solo is there and gone like a fireworks explosion. DLR is oozing with attitude and sass. I'm a happy camper.
Attitude and sass, that's what does it for him. So thank you, Scott Monroe, whoever you are out there.
Sure thing.
What?
Der Urs, or Urson Heisenhower, is back and says, classic Van Halen with extraordinary work by Mikey and Alex. Van Halen firing on all cylinders as a band. Thank you for that. Absolutely
agree. Yeah.
And finally, the one and only artist formerly known as Airhead, Ryan Powell. Heavy metal swing, perfect description of Van Halen and perfect summary of this amazing track. I was hoping Mark would not get his manifestation this time, because I would love to cover that one when I am on. Ryan's going to be on the show here in the next couple of weeks. And I can't even remember what you manifested last week, Mark, but Ryan's glad you didn't get it.
I can't recall either. I'll have to go back and check the show out. But whatever. Well, here's hoping, because a lot of my I have yet to shoot my shot and nail it like Corey has. And like Eric Sinich have. Yeah, exactly. All in due time. The more I manifest, the more it's just not going to happen. So we'll see what happens when you come on the show there, Ryan.
Mark Kammerer shooting blanks. You only got 56 episodes left to go, my friend.
The odds are in my favor that I'll land on one eventually. There's only 56.
Oh, yeah. When we get down to 56, two, you got a good shot. Yeah. You got a 50-50 shot.
I got a 50-50. I'll just flip a coin at that point.
Yeah. you're trying too hard, Mark. Don't try so hard.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. Just let it come. You're right. Yep. I mean, I just... nice. I see what you did there. I just want to hear the songs that I just really, really love, and it just doesn't seem to work out that way as far as the wheel's concerned with manifestations. But hey, you know, my time will come to shine. Maybe it's tonight. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's the next live show. We will find out. But speaking of manifesting and finding out, it's time to do that very thing. It's time to manifest a song for tonight's show. Scott Monroe, you are our honored guest. I'm very nearly certain. I'm peering into your mind. I am pretty certain there is a song or probably a list of songs that you just absolutely want to manifest for tonight for the show that we have not spun yet. What are they, sir?
Yeah, well, like I was saying, I love every era of Van Halen, so I'd like to try to push my luck a little bit here and see if I can manifest something from every lead singer era. For Dave, I'm going to try and manifest Romeo Delight.
Nice.
For Sammy, I got to go with Humans Being, which was played at both the 98 and the 04 concerts. Man. And Gary, I'm going to go with Fire in the Hole, which I definitely have some thoughts about.
with a title like that, it can go a couple of different ways. And at least for me, the way things are going with Van Halen 3's album, Fire in the Hole is not a good sign. But maybe it is. Maybe it is. Time will tell. Corey, how about yourself? You've had a rough week. It's been exhausting. You said you were looking forward to some whiskey and Van Halen. Well, you got your whiskey. It's time for Van Halen. What do you want the wheel to give us?
I'm sticking with As Is from A Different Kind of Truth. But if I could cheat a little like Scott did and pick like a DLR song, I've been screaming for somebody to get me a doctor for so long now. I'd love to hear that tonight. And Gary's song, I'm going to echo Fire in the Hole. I'm ready to hear that one again. So picking one from every area like Scott did, that's what I'm going with. I'm not doing that at all. Fuck it, because As Is was a David Lee Ross song. So forget somebody to get me a doctor. I got to pick a Sammy song, don't I?
Yeah, pick a Sammy song.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
There's so many to choose from.
I'm feeling like fucking, and I'm feeling like the dream is over.
Spanked.
Nope, not spanked.
I was going to say Pleasure Dome, but...
not that one either. But, nope. I'm going to go with The Dream is Over.
Dream is over. Yep. It's like just to give you all an idea of where Corey's mood is at this moment.
Exactly.
Just a guess. So
yeah. So Mark Meyer, what are you feeling here tonight? Now you're pretty boring. Either go Humans Being or Amsterdam. Let's try mixing it up. You know, dig deep, my friend. What are you feeling in right in the berries? What's your gut telling you here?
Right now, from Hagar's era. Mm-hmm. From the Fuck album, because it's great. I'm going to go with, let's see. We have not done, from Dave's era, we have not done. We still haven't done Ain't Talking About Love. So I'm going to be a basic bitch and still manifest that. And for Gary, More Than Words. There you go. There's our manifestations.
What Mariano was manifesting for tonight. He wanted to hear More Than Words. So.
Well, I'm right there with you, John. It's not often, but here we are. So we'll see. We'll see what the wheel gives us. At this point, you know, anything's on the board. With that being said, fellas, if you are ready, I'm ready. Corey, if you're ready, if Sammy's ready backstage, it's time to spin that wheel.
Damn right. All right. So by my count, I think Scott waited 5 months to come on the show. I'm going to shuffle the wheel 5 times. Everyone's watching. Make sure it's on the up and up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Take it away.
Here we go.
All right. Looks like it's going to be another Dimer Down track. This is a very popular one with folks. Little guitars,
we have spun it. Yeah, there's quite very a few nice. Of you out there that have been waiting for this one, so here it is, Little Guitars. All right, Corey, do you have any fond memories of Little Guitars?
You know, Dimer Down is probably one of my least listened to Dave albums. I really just kind of got back into it when we right around the time we decided we were going to do this show. But Little Guitars is really one of the standouts, one of the originals from Dimer Down. And a lot of people kind of dismiss this one because, you know, it's the covers album, right? But Little Guitars, and actually we'll have the intro here that we get to play as well on Little Guitars, the Little Guitars intro. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Scott, do you have any memories of Dimer Down?
Kind of a similar boat. I mean, I didn't come around to that album really till later on. I just remember it being really kind of having a badass riff. And one of those songs that kind of it feels like something you want to play while you're on a road trip, just kind of cruising along on a nice day. It's got a nice kind of upbeat feel to it.
Similar vein, Dimer Down wasn't the standout on Dimer Down for me, of course, is Oh Pretty Woman. Because I absolutely love that cover. That is what I associate that album with. However, I have heard Little Guitars. It's been a while. I see what you're talking about, Scott. Kind of like a little road trip. So I'm big on that. Part of my introduction to Van Halen, as I've told, is reminiscing about just riding in the car with my family and listening to the radio. And you're damn sure going to hear some Van Halen on the radio, especially back in those days. So, I see what you, from what I remember of this song. Yes, I would agree with that, but I'm looking forward to really breaking it down and maybe some fun surprises, or hopefully not too much disappointment. We'll see how it goes.
And I just got to point out too, the folks at home can't see this, but we were literally two spots away from Fire in the Hole.
Yes, we were.
Almost called your shot there, my friend.
Yeah, so close, man.
Now, before we play the song, time to play my favorite game. How many times did Van Halen play Little Guitars in Concert? Remember, everybody, this is, I actually download the Price is Right music for this section of the show, but we're doing this Price is Right rules. You have to get closest to the actual number without going over, because Scott's our guest. We'll let him go second. Mark Meyer, how many times do you think Van Halen played Little Guitars live?
They probably played it a good number of 80 times.
80? Okay.
80.
Scott?
I'm going to go a lot higher. I think they probably played it a lot on the Diver Down tour, probably all throughout 83, 84. Say 300.
Well, the correct answer, 307 times. So you would win both showcases. You got within 10. Not only did they play it quite a bit on Diver Down in 1984, but also 2007, 2008, and 2015 as well. They played it quite a bit. So,
well, there you go. So obviously this is one that they didn't mind playing a whole bunch. Maybe it's a favorite of the band's, or perhaps just a crowd pleaser. But there you go. That's a lot.
All right. So what do you say we start with the intro to Little Guitars here?
Sure thing.
Thoughts?
I mean, just beautiful Spanish style guitar, and you know, of course, and just I'm kind of speechless. I've never heard that intro before. I haven't. The time I've heard Little Guitars is I never heard it with that intro. So this is a surprise, a happy surprise, because wow. If you had told me that was Eddie Van Halen, I probably would have said, no, it's not. Like, if you hadn't told me, just like, listen to this real quick. Who do you think that is? I would have said it's probably like Rodrigo and Gabriela, or I would have said just any random ass Spanish musician that I could think of. It's like, it's probably them. Eddie Van Halen would not have come up on the list. Like, no, that's Eddie Van Halen. Like, Jesus Christ. Is there no style of guitar this man can't play?
Nope. And he just saw a flamenco guy on TV and thought, I wonder how he does that, and then just did it.
He saw that Esteban guy selling his guitars in those infomercials, and he was like, nah, I got you beat. I'm like, well, let me give this a shot. Ha, actually, suck it, Esteban.
I found a little quote from Dave Lee Roth here. I'll read about the intro here. Quote, just prior to recording this very short piece, Eddie had been listening to flamenco guitarist Carlos Montoya and wondered how on earth to get a handle on the astonishing fingerstyle his playing was based on. Edward is saying he had just seen this TV show with a flamenco guy doing all these wonderful things with his fingers. And he says, I got to figure out how to do that with one pick. Watch this. And he faked it by doing trills and pull-offs with his left hand on the neck of the guitar and fast pick strokes on the strings with his right hand. It was recorded in a single take. Of course it fucking was.
Of course it was.
Yeah. Eddie, always convinced in those days that nothing was impossible, confessed, I got to say the best thing I do is cheat.
I mean... Am I shocked by all of that? No. Is it frustrating as a guitar player? Yeah, it is. It's really frustrating because I just don't. Some people just have it. Some people are just born with it, or some people just have such a firm grasp on their instrument or the foundation of just musical in general, that of music in general, that they put their mind to it and they just make it happen. They just, dare I say, manifest it. Take another drink. But I'm getting pissed off the more I think of it. Scott, how'd you feel about that?
Yeah, just amazing. I mean, you know, the one take was the first thought I had. It, you know, kind of seemed like one of those cases where maybe a Templeman walked in and he was playing it and said, "Oh, let's use that." Mm-hmm. You know, like Eruption.
Yeah, he was just like, "Keep going, keep going," and just like click, record. But yeah, no, that's astonishing. But hey, look who we're talking about. Look at the source. It's Eddie Van Halen. I saw this on TV and thought, I want to do that, and boom, did it.
Yep.
It's like, I cheat a little bit, you know, I'm not really doing like the whatever, but it's like, oh, really? And that's what you came up with? You should be ashamed of yourself, I guess. My God. That's unreal, yeah. Man.
Figured out how to do it with one pick. Here we go. Just watch. Unreal.
Yeah, it is. But like I said, some people have this uncanny ability to just bring forth the musical nature, and Eddie's got incredible tone, and he's got the tone of the gods in his hands. So putting anything on guitar musically, no matter what it is, or even keys and piano to a slightly lesser extent, but still, just make it happen. Just makes it happen. I envy those that can make that happen, and I can't do that.
And very much like Spanish Fly.
There's that range of speed too that's just so distinctive. I mean, you know, it's just so, you know, it just starts off so soft and slow, and then he just, you know, starts ripping on it, and you know, it's just that is signature Eddie.
Yeah. And there's probably a lot of more skilled you know, classical guitar players out there. Maybe they're even listening. Maybe they heard this this intro and thought, well, I mean, I can totally tell that he did that one take. I can totally tell he's not, you know, using proper technique. And you'd probably be right. I mean, you would be right, because by Eddie's own admission, it's like, no, I cheated a little bit, but I just wanted to hear what I could do. But still, give the guy credit. Give the guy credit for attempting and doing it in one take, and just like, just as a single attempt. You don't have to break it down, you know, technically, and say like, well, this is where what he did wrong. This is what he's, you know, what he should have done. Like, no, forget all that. Just listen to what he's doing. And you can still say, hey, for a good first attempt, that was pretty damn good. Like, yeah, fooled me. And I've got a pretty good ear for guitar. And like, wouldn't have even known that was Eddie if you hadn't told me.
Well, and I found a great quote actually from Eddie about it here. Talking about listening to the Carlos Montoya, you know, flamenco style of music for a couple of days, and he cheated using a pick. He says, quote, "I am doing trills on the high E and pull offs with my left hand and slapping my middle finger on the low E."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's kind of doing like a hybrid, picking with the pick, and then, you know, using his fingers for additional ornamentation or just additional notes. That's fine. That is, pardon the pun, the best of both worlds, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Well, that was the intro. What do you say? I'm really psyched to listen to the song now. You guys ready to get into it?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We'll All right. Musically, that's one of my favorite intros on Diver Down. Mark, what did you think?
It's got that familiar Van Halen flair. And again, mentioning the tone, you know, it's Eddie's tone is full center. But then you got Alex just, you know, banging away on rhythm. And Alex now, at least in my ears, because we've been doing the show for as long as we have, and because I've really been tuning into the things Alex is doing, he has an absolute signature drum sound. He absolutely does. And it's the more you listen to Van Halen and the more you really get into it, the more you can identify certain a play, and any band really, you can identify certain players' techniques and sounds. Alex has a particular sound, and it's again, he is full force as well in this intro. So it's nice. It's a nice little transition into, don't forget who you're listening to. Here's this intro, this Spanish guitar intro, to kind of fool you. Like, if you weren't in the know, if you didn't know you were listening to Little Guitars by Van Halen, it's here's this classical guitar intro. It's beautiful. It's nice. Oh man, that's really ripping. And then the band comes in and go, oh wait, that sounds like Van Halen. It is Van Halen. Yay. The sense of familiarity. I really like it.
You mentioned that Alex Van Halen sound that usually comes from the snare, but he's got that mm-hmm. hi-hat open a little more on this one than kind of he normally does. Yeah. Right? The hat sound a little different. I kind of dug that.
The hats and snare and his kick technique is what kind of really that's what I tune into when I listen to him now, because he has particulars, you know.
Mm-hmm. Very good on the kick. Now, one thing I'm missing is a little Mikey in the mix. Bass is kind of low. But Scott, what were your thoughts on that on that intro section?
Yeah, just absolutely killer. And, you know, the guitar, it sounds so dark at first, and then it kind of, you know, kind of morphs a little and goes to a different spot. But yeah, it's just it's really kind of jarring, really, after hearing the intro, especially, you know, it's taking you to a completely different spot. And, you know, even as we go on here in the song, it just, you know, it really just has a completely different feel to it after this intro.
My question, and I don't even know if you can answer this, Corey, if you have the information in front of you, we're not experts, so we don't know. What came first, the that instrumental intro of Eddie on classical guitar, or this little guitar is like the song itself?
I believe it was the intro, because David mentioned, I'll try and find the clip here or the quote here real quick. He got the idea for the song from the acoustic part. It sounded Mexican to me, so I wrote a song for a señorita.
That is exactly why I was going to point that out. Because he starts it off with señorita, I'm in trouble again. Like, oh, okay. Was he influenced by Eddie's sort of Spanish guitar stylings? Because if so, it makes sense. So that's my question. Or that was my only question. That, and I really like Eddie's fret tapping technique that he's utilizing for the verse of the song. It's really easy to screw that up, but I guess when you're Eddie Van Halen, it's no, I can do this in my sleep. I do this in my sleep, but it sounds killer.
I love the "can't crow before I'm out of the woods, but there's exceptions to the rule." That's a cool little line.
That is a good line. Good on you, Dave. Good on you.
I just found a little more context on the "can't crow before I'm out of the woods, but there's exceptions to the rule." Apparently, mm-hmm. that line is an old saying that means a crow flying through the forest won't make any noise, or it will draw attention to itself and could get eaten. It'll wait until it's out in the open before crowing, but there are exceptions to the rules. I never knew that.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's I can see that because you know crows are chatty little birds. So yeah, I could see them not even wanting to draw too much attention to themselves, especially depending on where they are. So yeah, well, look at that. Dave utilizing metaphors, corvid metaphors, and having them make sense. So that, yeah, right on, Dave. When you're on it, you're on it.
Scott, where do you land on the lyrics?
Oh, they're great. I mean, and he's kind of telling a little bit of a story here, you know, as Dave does sometimes. So it's, you know, he's taking us along. He's got his turns of phrases. And I think we should give him props, too. I mean, he's singing quite well, I think, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah. Get your sketch. Get anybody in there that might see you and me. Get your sketch.
All right, Mark, your thoughts on that instrumental section there?
It feels like a buildup to something big and grand, but then it like just completely doesn't go there at all. It goes, it's like nope, next verse, same as first. Here we go. I guess maybe to prepare the listener for something bigger later down the road, or not, just to add some additional flavor. Either way, I like it, but I was kind of, I'm not going to lie, like, I always get a little bummed out hearing that because I go, oh, you were building and you were building and I was hoping for something like extraordinary there, but you just, you held off and you went back to the verse.
And the lyric there, I don't think I've ever really noticed that before. When I see all your little guitars sing to me. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I always dug that line. The catch as catch, I could always kind of live without. But when I see you and all your little guitars sing to me, I always dug that lyric.
Yeah, I love that I was praising Dave with his phrasing in this lyrics. And then we went right into catch as can. Like, what? Oh, damn it. You made me look like an asshole with that line. What the hell are you talking about?
I love how on the lyrics website we're looking at anytime is a question. Don't you know you can dance with me anytime?
Anytime? You know, you gotta ask. You gotta ask for consent. It makes you feel any better on Google, the question mark is there as well.
So. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You caught us. We listened to the last 30 seconds because it's just so fucking cool. Little guitars from Tyver Down. Mark Kammerer, what do you think?
I tell you, the that main riff on the verses, or actually just throughout the song, really, of Eddie and the finger tapping, it reminds me of another song that the technique is not the same, but it's just the way that the sound comes out sonically. It reminds me of this this other song called "Blinded by the Light," written by Bruce Springsteen, but performed by Manfred Mann's Earth Band. So it's like, you know, if you know that song and you know that the opening line, you hear the I believe it's on keyboard or synthesizer, the that reminds me a lot of what Eddie's doing with the fret tapping technique there. However, Eddie doing that fret tapping consistently is really, really impressive, because, as I said, that you can do that and it can go really, really wrong and sloppy very quickly unless you're just really good at tapping. So that's a testament to Eddie's playing, but of course it is. So those are my thoughts.
And it's funny you brought up Blinded by the Light. I just read an article about the most misunderstood lyric in rock history, right?
Yeah, I know what
it's supposed to be, like, revved up like a deuce, and he sings it wrapped up like a douche, and they left it in. It's pretty interesting.
There was a live show, I believe it was VH1. The channel VH1 used to have this show called Storytellers, and they would have musicians come in there, and they would tell stories about the particular song that they were about to perform. Little behind the scenes or meaning of, if you will. If I'm not mistaken, Bruce Springsteen was on Storytellers and he did Blinded by the Light because he wrote it. And he talks about the fact that, what I didn't count on was how misinterpreted this song was going to be because of a particular line. And of course the audience is laughing because they already know what it is. It's funny that you bring that up, because it's like, yes, even Bruce is privy to that information.
But it wasn't his fault. Like, he wrote Wrapped Up Like a Douche. It's a hot rod song. sang it wrapped up like a douche.
Or if they didn't, they unintentionally did, just based on the timbre and the dictation of singer of that band's just the way his voice works. Just it sounds too much like douche. So from now on, when we all sing it in our homes and our radios, behind closed doors, or even in karaoke, we're all gonna say "revved up like a douche," even though it makes no sense. It's funny to everybody else. So there you go. Yeah. All right. So now it's time to really give this our true feelings by voting on it. No pressure whatsoever, but because Scott, you are our guest, I'm gonna send it right straight to you. So Little Guitars was the song tonight. We didn't manifest this one. However, the wheel said, no, it's time. It's time for Little Guitars. The audience has been asking. So here it is. My question to you, sir, is Little Guitars what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
Yeah, just it's got everything going for it. Dave is in his wheelhouse, as we often say, although I think he's extending himself a little bit too. He's singing quite well. He's telling a great story. Eddie is doing so many amazing things. Alex is in there. I would have liked a little bit more Mikey, but we get him on the Senorita and the Oohs and the Ahs. I did get that vibe again, like I thought, you know, it's a nice song. You're just cruising along on the road. It's got a nice kind of upbeat feel to it. Really, really good, happy Van Halen song.
There you go. One vote for yay. Corey, I throw it to you. Is Little Guitars what dreams are made of, or are you just so sick of hearing so many little guitars?
Come on, you can't do a Van Halen podcast and vote down Little Guitars. This is an all-time Van Halen classic, and maybe my favorite track off Diver Down, if I dare say. It's certainly in the top third. I love everything about it. The intro is amazing. I totally agree with Scott. Could use a little more Mikey on the bass. When I kind of picked him out, he was doing some cool shit. You just can't really hear it so great. But I loved what Alex was doing on especially on that hi-hat. A little different for him. He usually plays that a little tighter. When he opens it up, it's wide open. He was kind of in the middle here. It really kind of had a swishy quality to it, to quote John Mariano. So I dug what he was doing. I love that we got him on the Senoritas, the very pretty melody on that. And yeah, I could live without the catch as catch can. Main line of the chorus, but there's some cool lines in here, and David's singing it great. So absolutely, Little Guitars, What Dreams Are Made Of. But Mark Meyer, the choice now comes down to you. You haven't been overly enthusiastic about Diver Down up to this point. You voted a lot of stuff up, but it hasn't been like overwhelming. So the question is, with the intro, is Little Guitars What Dreams Are Made Of, or is this dream over?
Yes, with a caveat, because I'm going to keep it consistent. As you've pointed out, I've been kind of so-so on Diver Down. This one is, this is a yay, but only just by a little bit, because I like what Eddie's doing. I like, you know, I've mentioned his, the finger tapping technique he's doing for the verses and a lot of the song, but there's not tremendous substance with this song. It definitely needed more Mikey, both in bass. I think he could have done a lot more background vocal wise, a lot harmony wise. There could have been a lot. There's a lot to be desired there. I do enjoy what Alex is doing, and both Van Halen brothers, I like what they're doing. The only thing is, Alex, as I pointed out, he's really in the forefront there. And so, and I guess Eddie, the both of them are. And so maybe it's a mixing issue for me that just doesn't quite kind of come together as much. However, and I'll point out that Dave's lyrics, while simple, are very good for this song. This is, Scott pointed out, he's telling the story. It's like, yes, it's a very quick story. It's a very short kind of to the point story in a way, but I mean, but that's not a bad thing. It's consistent and it's coherent. He's not doing too many Rothisms that would like make me roll my eyes like, eh, there he goes. No, he's in his wheelhouse, as we say. He's doing what Dave does really well when you let him, or when he is, I guess, open to it. And all that being said, what really sold it, what really got it, was honestly the intro, was the instrumental intro. Is this has happened before when I've kind of felt like a track of Van Halen was a bit lackluster, but then Eddie comes in with a rip roaring solo and just saves the day. If he doesn't do that, if the intro does not happen in this song, I might just kind of think this song is, it's okay. It's not terrible, but it's okay. Meh. And then I probably would have just said, I'll give it just a slight downvote. However, that intro just, and the story behind it, thank you, Corey, for context, just really, it sets the tone. When you know all that, when you know everything going into it, and you listen to it, and then you listen to the meat of the song, it all comes full circle. The mixing I still have an issue with. However, everything altogether, I can't downvote Little Guitars. I can't in good consciousness do it, because it is fun. It does work. It doesn't work as well as some other tracks, but it still works. It still works enough. And therefore, for me, yes, the dream, this is what dreams are made of. So full sweep, boys. We did it. We did a full sweep. Honest. So yay. Good stuff. And we hope you, the audience, are happy we finally covered Little Guitars with the intro.
Now, I had this ready for last week because we had a couple of guests, but we ran long. We got a little bit of time here tonight. I didn't ask you guys before we started recording, but I'm going to ask it now. Who's up for a little game of best of both books?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
AKA let's see how terrible Mark is at guessing who wrote this.
I think I got some good ones this week too. So
you probably do. Because I'm a bit of a sadist, I'm in for it.
Perfect. I'm gonna get the music going here. All right, so you can tell from the music, this is best of both books. What I'm gonna do, I have marked some passages from two autobiographies by Van Halen frontmen. We have Red by Sammy Hagar and Crazy from the Heat. Camera can't pick it up. There we go. Crazy from the Heat from David Lee Roth. I'm gonna read a random passage. You guys have to let me know which book it came from.
All right.
All right, let me find our first passage here. Don't mind my dog. He's a dickhead.
Oh, that's cool. I've been chasing cats over here.
All right, let's try this one here. One night he came to me in my dream and I told him off, but he was vague, hard to reach, and I couldn't communicate. Next day, I found out that he had OD'd shooting coke in a Union 76 gas station bathroom. Which book did that come from? Let's start with Scott Monroe.
That's a Dave.
That's a Dave. All right, Mark?
I'm inclined to think that's a Dave as well.
You are both wrong. That came from Red by Sammy Hagar. Not a good start, gentlemen.
Coming out strong. Yeah.
Ouch.
Let's mix up the books here. Let's see what I can come up with now. Man, my eyesight's getting really bad. This might take a minute here.
You change your prescription, man.
All right, what we started getting into it more often, and things weren't as friendly. Eventually, I started flying on my own. I'd fly home by myself, and I'd come back. I'd stay in different hotels. By the end of the tour, Eddie and I weren't even getting along. Which book did that come from? Mark Kammeyer.
I feel like that could go either way, but based on, I guess, what we know, I'll say that is also Sammy.
You're going to go Sammy on that one? Okay.
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm going with Sammy.
You are both correct. That came from a Sammy Hagar's Red. Good job, everybody. All right. Talk amongst yourselves as I find the next passage.
It's like every time he reads from Dave's book, I'm expecting him to say something in like that, something you would expect Dave to say. At some point, I'm expecting Corey to read off a quote from Dave's book where it's just a bunch of nonsense scatting.
Right.
It's like, well, that's clearly Dave. Come on.
All right. Let's see how you guys do with this one here. And I quote, "Doctor greets me in a private room. He's wearing the surgeon smock, which goes down below his knees, and he's supposed to wear it backwards, drawstring in it the back, right? He's wearing it front ways, and he's got no undershirt on, so he looks like me with the chest hair poking out. What book did that come from?"
That's got to be Dave's, just because of the imagery and the way he painted it, and the fact that he was so knowledgeable about what a doctor's supposed to wear. Dave would know that, and I'm pretty sure Dave had a hairy chest, so I'm going to say Dave.
All right, one vote Dave. Scott?
Well, and I got to say, I've read Sammy's book. I have not read Dave's. I got to think that would have stood out for me. I don't remember that from Sammy's book. I'm going to say Dave.
That was an easy one. You are both correct. That came from Crazy
you
from
threw
the
us
Heat.
A bone on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the story is really good, too. Seek that one out. I think you guys are going to really like that. All right. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to find the next one here.
It's like if he throws another one about like some sort of alien encounter and I say Sammy and it turns out to be Dave, then I'm quitting the show. I'm just going to quit.
Right. Here we go. And I quote, "Eddie was a man of few words. His favorite line was, yeah, yeah, yeah. All he cared about was getting some rest, having a couple of beers, some cigarettes, and playing some music." Which book did that come from?
I'll say that one is Sammy.
All right. One vote Sammy. Scott?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, if I remember, Sammy also described Eddie and Alex as big nappers. Might have come in the same section. I'm going to say Sammy.
You are both correct.
Woo!
Score is tied 3-3. Now I got to restart the song. We got to go until we have a winner here. It usually goes best of five. So
it's a 3 of 4. You've asked 4 questions, right?
Yes. Yeah. You both got the first wrong. So
this one might do it.
That's right. We're kind of into sudden death here. Whoever gets the next one right and the other one wrong, they're going to win it here. No prize, of course. Mark, we should start sending stickers maybe to the people who win best of both books. We might go bankrupt, though, because you lose every fucking
week.
That's
true. Yeah, I lose all the time. One of these days, I'm going to read both books in secret. I'm just not going to tell you, and I'm just going to, like, nail it every time.
All right, here we go. And I quote, there was always that taunting and competing and chasing each other and then running back up our tree and saying, I never heard you play better, or cracking a joke and going, hey kid, what melody ever do to you? Which book did that come from?
That's Dave.
You got one vote, Dave. Scott?
Yeah, I gotta go with Dave too.
You are both correct. That came from Crazy from the Heat. 4-4. Next vote's going to take it here. All right. Let me just mix things around here. Talk amongst yourselves.
He's going to give us an absurd quote that, like, literally could be Dave or Sammy because both of them said it. And you'd be like, all right, but which one am I reading from? It's the same quote, but who actually said it?
Yeah, right.
Like, how does that even possible? They wrote two separate books. How's that possible? They said the same thing.
All right.
Or he's going to bust out a Gary quote, and I'm like, I don't know who said that.
I need Gary to write a book. That would just make this all the better.
Write a book, Gary, please.
Yeah, please.
We'll read it.
All right, next up. Quote, I became suddenly aware of who Heidi was. Yeah, I knew Heidi, but I didn't inhale. Which book did that come from? Scott Monroe.
Damn it.
Go Sammy.
One vote Sammy. Mark Kamire?
Yeah, I'm to keep it interesting, and I'm sure I shouldn't do this, I'm going against my instinct, but I will, Scott said Sammy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll say Dave.
We have a winner. It's...
Hey, Mark.
See that? Mark Kamire,
oh
finally
I did it.
Won.
I did it.
That came from Crazy from the Heat.
Congrats,
good job,
but
Mark.
I knew it. I knew you were, well, good job on you too, because I knew you were going to try and pull a quote that could be either one, and that's why I said, damn it, because I could see either one of them saying that.
I had to make it a little bit harder there. A couple of those were slam dunks, but I had to make that one a little bit tougher.
Well, look at that. Sticker to me. I get
that.
A sticker.
First time. Awesome job, buddy. Yeah.
Well, like I said, one of these days I'm gonna read those books and then just not say a word, and then I'll just go on a winning streak, and you'll wonder, it's like, have you read these books yet? I'll be like, did I?
You'll be finishing the quote before I get a chance to finish reading it. You're like, oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, probably. Or raise my hand like, I know it, as you're like in the middle of it. But time will tell. I don't know. I'll keep it interesting. Maybe I won't read it, just because I think something we haven't heard from you, the audience, about how you feel when we do this game, or at least I haven't seen it. If you enjoy it when I am just completely wrong and when I lose this game, let us know, because maybe we'll keep that going, and I just won't read the books and I'll just keep guessing. But for tonight, at least, my guessing game was strong. So the Van Halen force flows through me, and I'm going to use all of it for the side of darkness. You fools, you're all doomed. But you know who's not doomed? Scott Monroe, because Scott, we had you on the show. You've been so patient. You joined us. We all voted yay on the song. So I hope you had a tremendous time. We had a good time talking to you, man. Thank you so much for being here. If you have anything you want to plug, anything you want to tell the audience or tell us, whatever, fire away, my dude.
Yeah, thank you, man. I had a great time, and it was a great track. Really appreciate it. And I want to thank you guys for your continued perseverance here. I just hope keep on trucking along here as you quest through the entire catalog. You're doing great.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. As far as where you can find me, I'm on Twitter at Scott D. Monroe. And for sure, you can find me in the Twitter comments for this podcast every week. And if I can quickly get in this last plug, in my professional life, I'm the editor of two community newspapers, and I would just ask everyone listening to consider subscribing to your local newspaper to support the important work that we do. Community journalism, that's vital for us all to make informed decisions and for a functioning democracy. And as Diamond Dave would say, God is love, but get it in writing.
100%. I couldn't agree
very,
with that sentiment
cool. Yeah,
more.
Dude, that's
absolutely,
awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Scott, once again. Yeah, we're happy to have you. Thank you for being so active as part of the community that supports us, that listens, that interacts. Keep it up. We appreciate you. Take a drink. And everyone, you know, lead by example there. Everyone follow in the footsteps of Scott Monroe. You see, when we're all nice and cordial, like, wonderful things can happen. So, Corey, my partner in crime and everything you can think of, where can the people find the show? Where can they find you if they want to single you out? Tell them what's going on with the show.
Please don't single me out. I'm very sensitive. Stop yelling at me.
You're right. No. I'm sorry. I won't yell at you.
Thank you. Of course, you can find the show at www.podcastablerock.com. If you want to get on the list to be on the show and we kind of missed you or haven't talked to you in a little bit, send a reminder. It's all good. I'm very old. I'm very fat. I got a gym membership. I'm working out now, and it's really fucking with my whole schedule. So things might go by the wayside. I know coming up, upcoming shows, February 22nd, Ryan Powell, Airhead's going to be on the show. He's doing that great Twitter poll with all the Van Halen songs. March 1st, we have the Deep Purple podcast coming on. We're planning something big, hopefully with the Pod of Thunder Boys in a live show, maybe in March. So look out for that. But big news just broke about 10 minutes ago. Next week, Mark, February 15th, the one and only Kelsey is coming back. Everybody's favorite guest.
Hey.
She's going to be back on the show next week, February 15th. And as we just decided today, Mark, we're going to go live. Fuck it. On February 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel at Podcast Will Rock. I'm going to post a link on Twitter. If you want to come on, you want to spin the wheel, you want to talk Van Halen, go right ahead. The drunker, the better. We're just going to have a good time. No facts. We're just going to be making shit up and just pissing off the diehard. So please, anybody that, if you haven't been on the show yet, you want to, there's a great opportunity for you to come on the show February 25th, live on our YouTube channel. But I should also give props to the fine folks at the Deep Dive Podcast Network, which we are a proud member of. The other shows you can find on that network are Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself, John Mariano, and Scott Haskin, breaking down everything Aerosmith. John and I also do a show called Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking music and movies. That's a lot of fun to do. Scott Haskin also has his show, Uriah Heep, The Magician's Podcast. Uriah Heep has a new album out. It's actually really, really killer. And he's breaking down every single track on that show as we speak. Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, like I mentioned, March 1st, they will be on this show. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, that's of course a Queen podcast, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, which is a Hawkwind podcast, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. They're on a bit of a break right now, but they got a lot of past episodes you guys can catch up on. Great stuff there. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, which is a Canadian versus American type deal. You want to check that out. That's a lot of fun. Greg and Jonathan again at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things Megadeth. Kevin Brown at the Tom Petty Project, and Kevin and Randy at Seaside Pod Review, Quinn at And Volume for All, and Sav, Nick, Steven, Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. And we should give a special shout out to some other like-minded shows like the Bogus Oda Show, all things Sammy Hagar, the DLR Cast, talking David Lee Roth, Dissecting Film, which kind of found our show just recently and reached out. They want to be on the show. They have some great stuff talking movies. And You're All Doomed, the Friday the 13th podcast, one of my favorite shows out there.
Hell yeah. Good stuff all around. We have all of your rock and roll podcasting needs here at the Deep Dive Podcast Network. Trust me, you will not be left wanting. So check out all those shows. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. And if I may be so indulgent, if you find yourself in the Nashville area, February 17th, myself and a whole cavalcade of musicians, including my lady Christy as well, will be performing for New Wave Order on February 17th at the Eastside Bowl, New Wave, a whole night dedicated to the New Wave genre of the 1980s. You'll be hearing songs from Depeche Mode, Devo, Tears for Fears, David Bowie, The Cars, even Bananarama and A-ha and more. I've talked about A-ha before, so wink, wink, by the way. So come out if you're in the Nashville area to the Eastside Bowl February 17th and see just a whole bunch of musicians in the Nashville area put on some tunes of yesteryear in the 1980s. And I love some new wave. So this is a very, very special show for me personally. And speaking of me personally, my band, Rose of Sharon, a tribute to Killswitch Engage. We had so much fun playing at the end of January that, hey, we're going to do it again. If you're in the Nashville area, February 24th at the it's a new venue called the Vinyl Lab. We are performing once again. We're going to be joined by other tribute acts, including Symptom of the Universe, a Black Sabbath tribute, Vulgar Display of Nashville, a Pantera tribute band, and more. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. So it's a very busy February, as you can tell, but like I said, if you're in the Nashville area and you're so inclined and you want to hear some really kick-ass tunes, please come out to those shows. We would love to have you. Love to see you. Let us know that the Podcast Will Rock podcast sent you. That will make me so happy. And if you're wearing merch, that's just a plus. So on behalf of Corey Scott Monroe, who's wearing merch as we speak, and that's why we appreciate him even more, take your last shot. We are, and the Podcast Will Rock. And we will rock you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.